Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible 1 minute at a time. I'm Chris.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Nathan.
Nathan, welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be back in this beautiful restaurant, Aquarium.
Aquarium.
Aquarium. Welcome back.
We're so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to be here. This minute begins with Ethan showing some Batman-level detection skills and ends with Kittredge explaining who Max is and what this person wants from the IMF. All right, guys, we've had a whole week of this. We've been inside this
aquarium
4 days.
Let's see if you can follow me around the room.
Oh yeah, we get some awesome Dutch angles. This is a
It's Brian De Palma at his best here.
He's not here tonight, Chris. I'm sorry. He
oh, that's he too bad.
Well, you know, remember when I said that I kidnapped all the directors of the Mission Impossible movies?
Uh-huh.
Well, on Saturday night of last week, they all escaped while I was asleep, so...
Was it John Woo who let him out? It was Woo, wasn't it? And all his doves, they all just like...
He slid down a banister while shooting guns in both hands. It was pretty amazing. And I missed it. I was asleep, so, you know.
Well, JJ needs to make episode 9.
Yeah.
Can't keep him locked up.
Well, he said that, and I said, you know what? Actually, he doesn't, Nathan, because episode 9's already come out.
No, episode 9.
No. Oh, episode 9. No, episode 9 did not come out.
He's got to go shoot it right now.
Oh, Nathan, we didn't tell you we're releasing in 2019, not 2018.
I thought you meant episode 9 of this podcast has already come out. I'm like, that's good.
Oh, was it Tom Cruise that came in and got him? I think it might have been Cruise himself who grabbed him.
He does his own stunts.
Yeah, he does. He's a wily little guy.
He does his own stunts, and guess what? Nathan does not appreciate it.
I just think, why put a stuntman out of work?
Maybe Ethan is a stuntman at heart and never got to be a stuntman.
Hmm? I'd buy it.
Yeah.
All right. Ethan wants Kittredge to follow him around a room. He is about to drop some amazing Batman level skills. I keep calling it that because I'm sorry. No human being would ever have noticed these things.
He's Ethan explaining it to him.
He explains that going from left to right, he explains who the IMF agents are, and they are in the restaurant right now. Two of them are behind him posing as a couple. The two waiters are two people that were dancing at the U.S. Embassy. And there was a waiter behind Hannah, the waiter who we actually mentioned in a couple of episodes back in the 14s and 15s. Seemed odd that he was looking at Hannah while she was using her aviator sunglasses. So now we know there was another IMF team the whole time at the U.S. Embassy. All hell's breaking loose.
Earlier, I thought that was just a bad extra, the waiter. But no, it turns out he is looking at the camera for a reason. Because it was in the camera, it was Ethan's sunglasses, or regular glasses.
Yeah, the Hannah's sunglasses.
So that finally explains why it took an hour for them to meet here. Because that couple that was making out needed to get over here, get into wardrobe, makeup right away so they could pretend to be a waiter and a diner.
Exactly.
Yeah, I assume they could have done it faster because Ethan had a reversible jacket that went from white to black for his tux jacket. I'm sure that the guy, the drunk Russian outside, had a jacket that flipped from overcoat to waiter jacket. Isn't that a normal thing?
It's like Dr. Detroit, right?
Oh my God, Dr. Detroit. Wow. What a reference. Nathan, have you ever seen Dr. Detroit?
I have not.
Oh my God.
All right, here it is. Here's the log line of Nathan Detroit. Here's the log line of Dr. Detroit. Dan Aykroyd plays a man who becomes a pimp.
A college professor.
Yes, who's trying to, with Donna Douglas and some other famous women, and he is trying to keep a woman who runs a competing limo service from taking over the city? Question mark?
Something like that, yeah.
And he creates a persona called Dr. Detroit, and he has a robot hand, a metal hand.
And he's pretending to be a pimp. It's the strangest, weirdest film.
It exists. You should definitely see it. That's a Minute Impossible recommend right
here.
Yes,
Dr. Detroit. And James Brown is in it. There's a big dance number with James Brown and Dr. Detroit. So it's
well, I mean, at that point, James Brown was in everything. He was in Rocky IV.
Yeah.
When did it come out, roughly?
1982.
So James Brown was probably in it because they met on the set of Blues Brothers?
Yeah.
Probably. This isn't the Dr. Detroit minute, but It had to be a vanity project. I mean,
oh yeah, it was.
There's no, it's a screwball comedy. It was probably, I can't remember if it's R for nudity. I don't think there's actual nudity. But it does have.
Yeah, there's some nudity. There's a lot of language. Yeah, and drug use.
Yeah. Okay. So don't take your kids. Kids, don't watch Dr. Detroit, okay?
Yeah, I watched it when I was like 8, so it's all good.
Oh, yeah. I watched it when I was 9 or 8.
I'm going to watch it when I'm 32.
It was all right, go for it.
It was 83. That's when it came out. 83.
That's pretty good. You're off. That's good.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's funny that when Ethan asks him what's going on, Kittredge just spills the beans. At second 29, he just flat out tells Ethan what's going on. It's like, Ethan, there's a mole in the IMF, and we've had some projects go sideways, and we've noticed that there has to be someone giving inside information, otherwise these projects wouldn't have failed. And I'm like, why are you telling him this?
He's full on monologuing.
He should have been like, don't you know? Because he thinks he's the mole. But then he explains it to him as if he's not, but then he tells him he thinks he is. Or he implies it with this whole conversation.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to the part where he says, I think you're the mole, but he's telling him all this information. I'm going to tell you my evil plan.
Yeah.
And this is where you're starting to think, is the IMF corrupt? We thought Ethan was the good guy, but maybe Ethan's the bad guy in this movie. I mean, we obviously know because we've seen the earlier parts of the movie, Ethan did nothing to kill his team.
Outside of disregarding, orders.
Right. But as far as we know, he did not blow up the car, shoot Jim.
Or kill Sarah.
Kill Sarah or Emilio Estevez. Yeah. So, and Kittredge tells him that there is an arms dealer named Max who is turning weaker agents over and getting them to work for him. And then they say one of my favorite lines in this minute. He says that they decoded a message on the internet. This is back when you could just say vague things like that and people are like, all right, well, that sounds technical.
I think that's a heads up right there for our tech of the week, by the way.
If this movie was made right now, Kittredge would have said, we decrypted an email. That would be what they said. Instead, he just says, we decoded a message on the internet. Decoding was such a, Cold War term. At this point, we hadn't gotten to the point where we understood what encryption was of emails and different data.
They're going for some serious close-ups in this one. De Palma is—he's like low angle looking up, and I mean, he's right in their faces. I mean, I remember seeing this in a theater, a fairly big theater, and they take up the whole screen for the shot. I mean, I remember seeing it in the original trailer or the second trailer, and when I saw the shot on the screen, I was like, wow, that's intense. And it plays out intensely, yeah.
Some schnoz camera.
Yeah. What I like, though, is I like the lights behind them from the fish tanks above. And especially when they cut to Kittredge's shot, you can see those fish going crazy behind him. It's pretty cool.
They know they're about to be eaten by Kittredge.
Yep.
He's been there for like 3 hours.
He's had like 2 dates in the whole time, you know?
That low angle is not flattering. It's not a good way to take photos. You get go see right up your nose, and it makes you look kind of fat.
No.
This is before selfies, guys. They didn't know that you're supposed to be above.
They don't even know they're being filmed.
But then they would have had to put the fish on the floor. All those fish would have had to been on the floor.
Kittredge would be taking pictures of his food.
Yeah, I'm sure at some point Brian De Palma was asking if they could put fish in the ground, like in the floor.
Yeah. I'm sure he did.
I'm sure the lighting guy's like, no. We are not lighting this thing with floor lights and ceiling lights. Your shot would be so, you'd look like you were sitting in front of a television. It would just be like
that
blue
would be so cool, though.
Light all over your face. That warmth you were talking about in those first minutes, Nathan, is still there. They're in a dark, I mean, they're in some pretty dramatically changing lights, like with the dark darks, the dark blacks are super rich and the faces still look fantastic.
IMF agents are in the restaurant with him, but he's still talking really quietly just to him. He should have just said, hey, IMF agents, I see you there. I see you. I see you. It would have been really embarrassing for them.
Hey, why don't we surround Ethan?
Yeah, Kittredge should have a move.
Yeah.
Where he's like, snapping or check, please. And that's his code for come get him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, why leave him open like that if he's insinuating what he's insinuating here?
Yeah, want him to look at Ethan right in the eyes and be like, you've just been caught. And then he puts on his sunglasses and then you hear that, wah!
Because like fish are caught.
NCIS or whatever it was.
We've netted you, buddy. Your fish is fried.
We've netted you.
We got you dead to rights. Hook, line, and sinker. Something smells in here, and it's not the fish in these giant tanks.
Do you think he could have been a little less accusatory and just brought up that he thought that a lot of the people he'd seen that night were there too? And maybe it was a different spy agency altogether and Kittredge was being set up?
Nope. I think it has to be accusatory. I like the way you're thinking, though. It's like a kinder, gentler shadow war, shadow spy ring. You know, it's like, hey, not for nothing. It seems like, you know, and this could just be me, but maybe there was another team there. Seemed like that was getting eyeballed by a bunch of people. I'm just throwing this out there. What do you think?
That's really swell.
Excuse me. Garcon, could we have another tiramisu? Garcon?
Because it's a podcast. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Why did you just say wink, wink?
I know.
No reason.
Kittredge. Oh, dear. Yeah. He really shouldn't have brought all the same people back to use different roles. He should have just brought three teams. The one that's there, then the one that's at the restaurant, and then the doomed team that Ethan Hunt was a part of.
Something I just thought of, and it kind of throws it on its ear, is maybe he didn't have Ethan killing time for an hour. Maybe this restaurant is an hour away.
No, yeah, this is just the people that were at that party wanted to go out afterward and get some
so
fish.
They just beat Ethan.
They're just separately all having drinks at this place. There's like the after party. They're like, do you want to get drinks down at Aquarium?
Yeah, jerk, I went. They're not IMF people. Some people have more than one job, Ethan. Not everyone makes a lot of money. Those people that were drunk by the river, guess what? They have a night job. They have to go work at this crappy Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, they're not at Ethan's level yet, you know?
A man can't put on a bow tie? Oh, are you saying that a guy that's a waiter can't afford to eat here, Ethan? Is that what you're saying? I don't like your attitude, Ethan.
He turns it around, yeah. He's like, you know what? You might have killed your whole team, but this really disgusts me.
You know, but it's also one of those things that, you know, the Kittredge or whoever put that team together had to put together a team that looked believable enough as touristy and also wait staff, you know, not just agents. Because you couldn't have put Jim Phelps' team in there and made them believable.
I don't know how he figured out the guy behind him is the same drunk guy who was at the river, because that guy has white hair and is turned around. And I've still not...
The waiter is the guy at the river.
No, it's the girl, and then the waiter is the bearded guy from the river.
And the bearded guy, yeah, from the river. The white-haired guy and the other waitress are the people dancing around.
The film producers?
Oh, you notice they didn't show a clip of them? They must not have had that. You notice they showed a clip of the two people that were the two drunk people on the river. And then he says, and at 9 o'clock, these people were dancing. They don't show a shot.
No.
And then they say, and the waiter behind Hannah, they show a shot. So
yeah, that is weird that they didn't include it.
That second unit stuff. That's stuff they shot in Prague. So if they missed a shot.
Oh, well, tough. It's probably not even the same actor that was they were explaining in the other shot. Again, they pulled that Sarah Davies shot where she's in another place.
Yeah, they're famous for that.
I agree. You can put that in like multiple times.
Just do it now. Just say, I agree. We should.
Yeah, too true.
Yep. Yeah, we're going to have a bunch of drops. Just, yeah, you're right, Nathan. That's an excellent point. Now we know that the person that Galitzin was going to be taking this knock list to, his name is Max. Max is the person trying to buy the knock list. And that's one more piece of this puzzle. Kittredge is about to tell us the name of this is, again, I don't understand why Kittredge is telling us all this, but he's about to tell us the code name of the operation that Max is running to get the knock list, and then the minute cuts off. And I'm like, dude, why are you even talking about this? Shush! Stop it!
Just, he's giving all the information away to Ethan. It's just, it's a little too much.
You're the mole, so you're not gonna need this information, which is the exact information you will need in case you, I don't know,
somehow escape from here.
Get away from all five of us.
That are, you know, like 15 feet away from each other.
There's an IMF team in there, so we now know he is covered by at least people that have been trained to subdue. What do you think Kittredge's level of training is? Do you think Kittredge has any? Or do you think he's just a pencil pusher?
I think he can push pencils really hard.
Hmm.
I would think he would have to be, you know, somewhere up there if he ended up director at some point. You know, and it's not like they just make, I don't know. You would think so, but maybe not. Maybe they just put somebody who's a pencil pusher in there. And I would think that having somebody who was a former agent would be better used to dealing with agents.
I'm just going to spitball this, but sometimes people you put in high positions of power don't actually have the background you want them to have. And they lead, I don't know, an entire country and maybe command in chief the entire country. I don't know. I'm just.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what would happen if that happened.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, what would you do?
Maybe that's the plot of the next Mission Impossible film.
Maybe Kittredge's father gave him a bunch of money and he just got lucky. I don't know.
It could be.
Can you fall into being the head of IMF? Is it hereditary?
Wait, do you really think he's still going to be president when this podcast comes out? It's horrifying.
Well, we'll keep this in. We'll keep this in if he isn't.
Not after today, maybe.
But yeah, it's a great minute to finish on. It we see Tom Cruise. Ethan's back. He is in charge again. I love that he's no longer angry and he's no longer sad. He's now accusatory.
Yeah.
He's accusatory, and then he's also, when he says you're worried about me, do you think he means that they're trying to see what he's doing or that they were trying to protect him? And then, you know, because this is, are you worried about me? It could be taken either way.
Here we go with another ill-conceived IMF plan. I don't understand why they had him come to this restaurant.
No.
I don't understand why Kittredge had this whole talk. Of course, for the narrative of the movie, I understand that things need to be moved along. But if you know someone's a mole, or at least think they're a mole, put them on a cargo ship, inject them, make them go to sleep. They wake up at Langley, you're done. Debrief him. Yeah. But obviously, Kittredge really wanted to tell him about Max. So I'm glad we now know. Maybe we'll actually get to talk about Max at some point. I don't know.
Yeah. If they had just left him the passport, he would have gotten on the plane and gone right back to Langley, and they could have just taken.
And they would have given him a drink, and he would have passed right out.
He never would have, because he didn't figure out that. I mean, the second he walked in that restaurant, he saw the other IMF team, and he already knew the other IMF team. It was, I think that Ethan figured out, I don't think Ethan knew that was another IMF team that was there until he walked in the restaurant.
Yeah, I agree.
The second he walked in the restaurant, he knew something had gone wrong, but the second he walked in the restaurant, that's why he's so quiet in those first scenes when he sits down with Kittredge and his tiramisu, is that he is finally coming to terms with why were there another group of agents watching us?
So I think you can pretty much pick it up at this point, what Kittredge is saying. That's not very nice to sacrifice a bunch of people on the team just to find the person who's going to be left at the end.
Well, that makes me wonder again, how much control does Kittredge have over this bug, this mole hunt? I don't think, it seemed like Kittredge was genuinely sorry that he lost his teammates. So I don't think going back to your original statement, Nathan, we're supposed to think that IMF is an agency of good. And I still think Kittredge is very sad that everyone is dead. And that was not part of his plan. I don't know what his plan was yet. Hopefully in the next few minutes we'll find out. But at this point, I think that we're at a point where IMF is reeling from a mole being in there, and they tried to find out who this mole was, and this whole thing went sideways. This was not what they intended.
Okay. So they weren't trying to, like, process of elimination, find the mole that way.
I don't think killing Hannah, Sarah, Emilio, I don't even call him by his name, Jack, and Claire and Jim is part of the plan.
I think he seems really sad that Jim died because he was hoping they could at least keep him around because he's been there for so long.
Because Jim has a tail.
That's right.
Maybe Kittredge has a tail.
Yeah, maybe.
It's so hard for two people with tails to meet these days. In those days, I mean, before the internet.
Yeah, no, there's a whole website to it.
There's the internet, as we'll find out later. It's just a horrible, horrible thing.
it's
not the internet we know today.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of user groups.
I decoded a message on the internet, and it says, I have a tail. Is this from you?
Yep.
It's almost on the same level as the internet in Tron.
The internet in Tron.
Was there the internet in Tron?
No, it was not.
No, it was just a digital space. It was almost like a mainframe.
Yeah.
It was digital jazz,
There was
man.
No internet. Oh, boo. Booed digital jazz.
Bio-digital jazz.
Ugh, whoa.
It was just like, you're right, it was just an inner company communication area where they were able to communicate through the computer with each other.
So have any other flashbacks occurred so far? Is this the first one where they, in the movie, actually show something that happened previously?
Yeah, I think so.
This is the first flashback we get for a while. I'm just trying to think ahead to all the other movies. And I don't remember... There are definitely a couple that where there's like someone talking about it, and there are some flashbacks, but it might be all the way to Rogue Nation or even Ghost Protocol. Definitely in Ghost Protocol, there are flashbacks.
That's a great movie.
It's mostly at the beginning with the other assassin, but yeah, I think you're right. I think that's a great pickup. I don't think there is another flashback. At least, oh, there is later when Ethan, I don't want to spoil anything. Ethan's going to figure some stuff out later in the movie.
Yeah, there are flashbacks there, yeah.
Painted it. They hung a lantern on it, as the saying goes.
Okay, and one other question. So the flashback, is that literally footage that was earlier in the movie, or is it just the same actors and stuff? Is it actually the same camera angle? And if so, yeah. Was that Tom Cruise's perspective when he was looking? Was it his?
When we see Hannah and the guy behind him, it's not, I don't know if it's actually, because at that point he's pretending to be a senator. I don't know if it's the senator's perspective, but it's our perspective as the movie watcher, seeing that Hannah is watching them. And she like changes, she pushes a button on the side of her glasses to view, remember they spray Glitzen with a fluorescent spray on his head?
Mm-hmm.
And she changes the shade on her glasses and is able to follow him. So, yeah, that was... Both of those are the exact same shots.
But it's also possible that that was a decision made in editing the flashbacks. They could have just had him describing it, and then people are going to say, I don't think they're going to really remember that. Why don't you edit some stuff in?
It feels like that might be a studio note, because remember, there isn't one for the middle one.
Right.
Because I don't think they had it. So, I agree. That could definitely be the studio saying, we don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, I actually didn't realize it was the same people in the restaurant.
Until just now?
I thought they were different people. I have really bad facial recognition. It's one of my huge weaknesses is I have a hard time remembering faces. And so even when I see them back to back, like I'm the kind of person that if a character changes clothes or especially their hair in a movie, I won't remember who they were anymore.
Wow, you're like a spy's dream. Yeah.
Some sort of facial blindness to the point where every time someone says they've met me, I always agree with them. And sometimes they haven't. And then it's just both of us. wandering awkwardly through a conversation that should never have happened.
I do the same thing. I have had people walk up to me and say, how is your, and actually name the name of my children. And I look at them like, I have no idea who you are, but I don't ever say
why
it.
Why is there another team?
Luckily, my wife's next to me, and I'll usually say, this is my wife, Meredith. And Meredith will introduce herself, and then they'll introduce themselves, and I'll get a clue. I'm the worst. We're not nice people, I don't think. I think there's something wrong with us. We're broken.
Well, anyway, good for Ethan Hunt because he has the opposite thing.
Yeah, he has Batman style recollection, which I would like to have.
And Harrison Ford style recollection because Harrison Ford does it all the time in movies too. Apparently,
regarding Henry, he does it all the time.
The Fugitive and Patriot Games. It's almost the exact same.
Regarding Henry, he doesn't do it in regard.
No, he
Henry.
Does not. Another J.J. Abrams script though.
Yep.
Oh wow.
Here's a question I keep forgetting to ask our guests, and let me ask you, Nathan. What's your history with Mission Impossible? Obviously, you're a little younger than us, but when did you first see, did you see the first movie first, or did you see one of the other ones in the theaters and then go back and watch some of the original
ones? I saw Mission Impossible, the original, probably pretty quickly after it came out on VHS at friend's house. Yeah, I saw that one, and then for some reason, I really liked Mission Impossible 2. And watched it a lot. And I had that one. So I watched it way more. And then as I became older, I realized that is a terrible movie. It took me a while for that to sink in.
So it's like James Bond. That was your Mission Impossible. That was kind of the one that resonated with you. Even though empirically you knew later on, you're like, this is not a good movie.
That long hair. I liked the part in the Southwest. And I liked the That one really goes overboard with the face swapping, which I love, and the voice changing. Then the third one, I think I saw once. I thought it was good, but for some reason I never watched it again. And I loved Ghost Protocol, and I thought Rogue Nation was okay. I saw those in theaters, and for the foreseeable future, I'll probably see all the new ones in theaters until they've disappointed me twice in a row. But I like the spectacle, and I think it's so rare to see a series that actually gets better around that time.
Yep, it's just this one and Fast and the Furious.
Pretty much.
What's Fast and the
Furious? I will keep promoting Fast and the Furious.
What's that?
Chris, you gotta watch Fast and the Furious, man. It's the best. As I said before, it's not the best. It's terrible, and then it gets more terrible, and then it gets amazing, and then it gets more amazing.
I've only seen Fast and the Furious 7, and it was great.
Oh, well, that's a good one. I always tell people, read a wiki 1, don't even wiki 2 or 3, watch 4, 5, 6, 7, and then 8. And they're great.
All right, yeah. The skyscraper scene.
And by great, they get, oh my God, yeah.
The skyscraper scene in Ghost Protocol, that whole sequence, the whole heist and everything is just such bliss to watch. It's like, it's like fun. It's like got an Ocean 11 type energy to it. And then that skyscraper scene on the big screen was just really cool to watch. It was kind of like breathtaking in a way, which I don't usually say about movies.
I saw that in IMAX and it was insane because they shot it in that format and it's just all encompassing.
Wow.
Hey, Nathan, you know that he did his own stunts in that movie,
yeah,
right?
That one I am impressed about.
oh, look, Nathan's now impressed by Tom Cruise's amazing stunts. How quickly you've changed since the first of the week.
When he flipped over that fence, I was like, whatever.
He's like, hang out of a building, then I'll be impressed.
Well, you know, it's crazy because the stunts keep getting better, but he keeps getting older, so it gets even more impressive.
Yeah, now it's become perilous.
He's going to be 80 and hanging off some building and a plane at the same time. It's going to be crazy.
I'll watch it.
But he'll still pretend like he's 35. So
that's great. And then Vin Diesel will be in space.
Exactly.
So that's the only place this
movie's
going to go.
Now, if we can only get the two movies together.
They'll do that. Once they start to lose money, they'll start bunching these franchises up as fast as possible.
Oh, yeah.
All right. On that note of talking about movies that we love and movies that have gotten better, this movie only gets better, but sadly, we're going to have to not get better this week because Nathan is no longer going to be with us. He's not dying. He's just not going to be here next week.
I'm just glad I was able to be here for the walk and for the conversation.
And Nathan, we're so happy you came, and with the stroll that Ethan took through Prague, we're so happy you got to sit down and have a little dinner with us at the Akvarium.
That's great.
And we'll let you know what's happening to make sure that he's okay and that Ethan's going to get out of this alive.
All right.
Okay?
Well, thanks for saving me some tiramisu, by the way.
It's not poisoned.
Let's do some plugs. I know that you've got a couple podcasts. Is there anything else you'd like to plug before we say goodbye
to
you?
Sure. Yeah. My main thing is A Goofy Movie Minute, and that's on all the stuff. You can email me at agoofymovieminute@gmail.com if you want to tell me how much you liked or disliked my appearance here on this podcast. You can also listen to Calvin and Hobbes Cast, where I talk about each strip of Calvin and Hobbes in chronological order. And then my wife and I do these oil projections, and it's called Cat Scanners. And you can find that on Facebook if you just want to see some psychedelic visuals in the 60s style.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again for coming. We really
appreciate
it. Thanks
for having me. This was super fun.
Awesome.
Cool.
Future alert. Future alert from the future. Alert.
We do have a write-in from last Friday from Nathan. He did write in, and he wanted to nominate the chairs and the pattern that was on the chairs. Again, we're playing fast and loose with this rule, so I will allow the chairs. I'm not going to argue.
So we're doing textile tech as well? Is that a thing?
Yes, it is textile of the ep style.
The textile. Tech style.
Yeah, I got it.
we forgot and added this from the future.
You can always see our psychedelic paintings at Impossible Minute Force. They're not as good as Nathan's, but you should come by there. We talk about everything. And you can also talk to us on Twitter at MinImpossible, M-I-N, Impossible. You can email us if you did not like Nathan. We will only take negative responses. We don't want to hear anything good. So you can email us at
bring it on.
MinuteImpossible at gmail. Bring it on. You can email us at gmail.com. I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I'm Nathan.
This minute will self-destruct.